Okay, now some people like chicken. Some people like to cook cauliflower and try and convince themselves it tastes like chicken. And then some people like to mix gluten and breadcrumbs in a bowl and make chicken-free nuggets. It sounds a bit like a crazy dinner party, right? And lab-cultured meats are the next alternative taking a seat at the table. This morning we're joined by Professor Johannes Lekutra from University of New South Wales School of Chemical Engineering to learn more about these lab-cultured meats. Good morning, Professor Johannes. How are you?
Good morning, Wilhelmina. I'm very well. Thank you for asking. Thank you for having me.
It's great to have you here. So what does the process of making cultured meat entail?
So maybe it is really important to point out that cultured meat is basically just meat. It is just the normal meat that we all know. And what is being done is you take a biopsy from a live animal like a cow or a pig or even a chicken, and you take that biopsy, which is just a tiny little lump of cells that you take out of a muscle of the living animal, and you start to cultivate this material in the laboratory to eventually grow meat as we all know it and as we all like it.
Okay, so we're kind of like just growing rump steaks or ribeyes or something like that in a dish.
Well, that is the idea and the goal at the end of the day. We are not there yet. We are definitely not there yet. And if it will have the optical appearance of a nice cut of a ribeye, remains to be seen. But definitely, this is the direction we are going. Yes, very clearly.
Okay, so we're aiming for the same sort of taste and textures. Do they have the same nutrition profile?
Definitely, that is the ambition. Definitely, that is the idea. And we're even trying to hopefully get nutritional profiles better than what we see right now, yes.
Right.
One example I can give you might be, if you're looking at, for example, at fish, many people, or at least some people, do have allergies against seafood products. One hope could be, and that might not be entirely a nutritional question, but one hope could be to make these materials hypoallergenic, which means they are less or not allergenic at all as compared to the natural products.
Oh, okay. That's pretty cool.
It is.
Yeah. So plant-based meats are often pretty high in sodium and taste, and the texture just isn't kind of quite there yet. From an environmental standpoint, tell us a little bit about plant-based or cultured meats. Are they a better choice?
They are hopefully a better choice. They are thought to be a better choice. I want to make the point that it's really important to distinguish between plant-based and cultivated meats. These are two different animals, if you will.
Yes.
No pun intended here. So the plant-based is really taking vegetables or taking plant material and trying to make it appear as meat. And the cultivated meat is just what I said before.
Yes.
When it comes to the environmental impact. Of course, with cultivated meat, we hope to be able to control the process. So that means we hope to be in a position to use less arable land, to have a better control over the water management. Just think that a kilogram of normal traditional beef in its production uses about 15,000 liters of water.
Oh my
God. So here we are trying, and this goes through the lifetime of the animal. So we are aiming and we are trying and we are really working hard to improve the environmental footprint of these materials. And it remains to be seen where we land, yes. The idea is to be better in greenhouse gas emissions. The idea is to be better in arable land use and in land use in general that is being used to grow animal feed. But again, the jury is still out. These products are not going to be dominating supermarket shelves in the next 5 years, I would say.
Right. Okay. So it's still a little way off. I was wondering, have you guys kind of tasted anything in the lab?
Not yet, but we're getting there. We are getting there, and mind you, tasting things coming out from laboratories always is subject to good regulatory procedures and to good approval techniques, so that people don't just eat something out of the petri dish that has not been tested. Exactly.
Okay, and so, where is your research team at UNSW directing their efforts right now? And what has been one of the biggest learnings that you've had?
So in the field, and this is not just us at UNSW, in the field in general, one big challenge really remains to scale production of these materials and to do so at an acceptable cost. So to keep that food affordable in a way that's the same thing. It's this two sides of the same coin, to produce large quantities at cost. And that's what we're aiming at. So this entails producing good media for cell growth. This means we need to find good bioreactors where this can happen in. And there's a lot of technical issues that need to be addressed in order to push that to the level where consumers will really embrace the outcome.
Yeah, right. And so it's still probably at least 5 years until we see this type of thing in a supermarket, would you say?
Well, there are different people have different views. I guess, like with any innovation, it will start as a premium priced niche product, and that is just normal. Think of first iPhones, think of first electric cars, these types of things. And it will slowly evolve as costs become more palatable. And I believe if we're talking about real visible and serious presence of any of these materials in supermarket shelves, we will need 5 years at least, yes. But which is not to say that there might not be the odd product that will come out maybe in 2 years from now at a high price at an exceptional cost, yes.
Right. Oh, my goodness. Professor Johannes Lekutra, thank you so much for joining us this morning and talking about it. I think it's fascinating.
Thank you for having me. Thank you for having me. That was great fun. Yes, thanks.
Have a great day.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Bye. Take care.